Hello and welcome to another teaching from 119 Ministries. Our ministry believes that the whole Bible is true and directly applicable to our lives today. If you would like to know more about what we believe and teach, please visit us at testeverything.net. We hope that you enjoy studying and testing the following teaching. Team Ministries receives thousands of emails a year, and as you would expect, many of those emails contain questions. Quite often, we repeatedly receive various forms of the same questions. Ideally, we would like to have a teaching available for every question we receive. However, some questions can be answered rather briefly and do not require a regular length teaching to serve as a response. That is the purpose of this teaching series, to offer you an easily available vehicle to answer your common questions. In this teaching series, we'll read a collection of hand-picked questions that we have received via email. Then, for whatever it is worth, we'll offer a brief response, hopefully leading those interested in the right direction to find the answers that they are seeking. So, let's get started. First question. What about blood transfusions? Jehovah's Witnesses don't accept blood transfusions because the Bible says we shouldn't eat blood. So, we should not have blood from another living thing in our body. Where do you guys stand on blood transfusions? So basically, this question is asking whether the commandment against drinking blood could be compared to blood transfusions. While we understand the reason behind the question, we would not see any issue with blood transfusions. Generally speaking, it appears that the context of the commandment against the drinking of blood relates to the pagan cultic rituals commonly found at the temples of false gods. For example, Acts 15:20 states that Gentiles should immediately refrain from four things when entering the faith. Those are idols, things strangled, sexual immorality, and blood. These specific things are all related to cultic temple activity, in which there would be idols, strangled sacrifices, the drinking of blood, and temple prostitution. Blood transfusions are an entirely different purpose, which are intended to save lives. The Torah is all about preserving life. In the worst-case scenario, if one simply feels they must define blood transfusions the same as drinking of blood, then it would fall under the Weightier Matters principle. And if interested, one can find the teaching Weightier Matters on the 119 website. The weightier matter is always about preserving life, and blood transfusions most certainly fit that criteria. But, again, we do not see any biblical command prohibiting transfusions for the purpose of medical healing. Hi. My son is an atheist and challenged me over the following questions, which I couldn't really answer. I'd be grateful for any help you may have on the following. Why does God kill, his word was murder, so many people in the Old Testament? I explained that God is just, so it wasn't murder, but still, I couldn't explain why so many people were killed. First, this is a great question. One thing that is hard for humans to wrap their heads around is the fact that we were created with a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify Yahweh. Anything that gets in the way of that purpose and His master plan to accomplish that purpose is then something that is contrary to Yahweh. Yahweh wants us to choose Him to serve in that purpose, and in doing so, He grants us eternal life. He created all things, and He owns all life. While it is uncomfortable for us to admit, we do not own our own lives. Our lives were given to us, but with the intent of a purpose of serving Yahweh. And just as Yahweh had every right to create us, He also retains every right to take it away if we are not serving that purpose of our existence. An atheist will have a difficult time with that answer because an atheist believes his existence is through random chance with no intended purpose and that he owns his own life. We go into much more detail in the teaching, Does God Command Genocide? Let's move on to the next question. I only have one question, and that is in regard to your name. May I ask how it came to be 119? Is there significance in that number? Thank you for your time and all that you do. 119 Ministries draws its name from Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. It's an amazing chapter, and we encourage everyone to read it often. In it, King David speaks about how wonderful God's law, that is, his Torah, truly is, and how much he loves it. Since a big focus of our ministry is reminding Christians on the beauty of God's Torah, we decided to base the name of our ministry on this psalm. Let's move on to the next question. Good morning. My husband and I are really trying to understand Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, about the women wearing pants. Please, if you already did a study on it, it would be very helpful. Or, if you don't mind doing a study on it to help us get a better understanding, we would be thankful. God bless you and the teaching. This is another great question, and the answer is easier than one might expect. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, instructs men not to wear women's clothing, and for women, not to wear man's clothing. When it comes to pants, it is very clear that some pants are designed and marketed to men, and some pants are designed and marketed to better fit women. There is also clothing that might be for neither men or women specifically, such as a t-shirt. However, even t-shirts are often cut differently to better fit women or men. There is no such thing as all pants being for men. Most men would not comfortably be able to fit into women's pants. The Bible does not define what is or is not men's clothing or what is or is not women's clothing. Society determines that. The point of God's instruction here is that males should not be visually confused as females, and females should not be visually confused as males. As long as men are dressing as men and women are dressing as women, no confusion is occurring. And then the intent of the Torah commandment is being satisfied. Let's move on to the next question. What's your take on pig enzymes and gelatin? Okay, this is a great question, and first we need to back up and kind of understand why it's being asked. This question is asked as it relates to Leviticus 11. According to Leviticus 11, pigs are one of the animals that are not considered food, and we are instructed not to eat it. So, then the question becomes, are pig enzymes and pig-derived gelatin still considered pig, and therefore unclean for us to eat or consume? When an animal is processed or broken down, people often ask at what point it matters that something is derived from pig. For example, a pig also has calcium or magnesium. Eventually, these minerals go back to the environment and feed plants that then feed us. If magnesium or calcium is derived from pig, does that make those minerals unclean forever? Not likely. That would be quite a stretch. We likely have molecules in us that at one point were part of something unclean. That could be true for a banana or a tomato. So what about enzymes? Enzymes are a string of amino acids. They are catalysts for chemical reactions inside living things. Why is this even a concern? Because some cheese products contain enzymes derived from pigs, and other types of food additives may also include pig enzymes. They did not have this problem or debate in the first century or in the time of Moses. Pig meat was pig meat, and in that way, things were easier to understand. At what point, though, is a pig no longer pig? Frustratingly, it is a difficult question to answer. Even Jewish Orthodox rabbis, who were once rather definitive on this subject, are starting to admit that they do not really know. Enzymes break down so fast, and there are no longer really any molecular signatures such as enzymes even derived from pig. Some avoid such enzymes altogether, and that is understandable. Some believe that such enzymes are no longer pig, and that position makes sense as well. When it comes down to it, it is rather difficult to definitively conclude that an enzyme still constitutes as a pig. Gelatin is a little harder to answer and is still debated. Some state that it is still pig, while some state that it is not. We err on the side that it is, but admit that it might not be. It seems that it is likely still pig. It is ground up bone. The critics might say that it is so heavily processed that on a molecular level, it is not really pig anymore. And that indeed may be true. In the end, we really cannot say definitively one way or the other whether or not something is still considered pig and therefore unclean according to Yahweh. Let's move on to the next question. Good morning. First, I want to thank you for your effort in spreading the real gospel of Yeshua and the Torah and what it means to walk in Yeshua's ways. That being said, I have a question. When people ask me if I'm a Christian, I'm having a hard time saying yes. The reason being is that Christianity has drifted far from the original church of Yeshua, and I find myself not wanting to be associated with mainstream Christianity. So I have prayed about this, and this morning, I decided to ask you for your opinion. What would you suggest that I give for an answer when asked that question? This is a really good question, and it really exposes the person asking their heart and trying to discern what does God want us to do, and also how do we interact with others in the faith that kind of differ from us. When we first discover that the whole Bible, including the Torah, is applicable to us in the faith, we sometimes begin to distance ourselves from mainstream Christianity. In some ways, the keeping of the Sabbath and the feast days, observing the dietary instructions or other commandments mainstream Christianity has forgotten, does denote a significant difference. On the flip side, mainstream Christianity is actually in agreement with us on most of the Torah. When we are asked what denomination we are, or something similar, we normally state that we are Torah-observant Christians to such an audience. That usually prompts questions, and then we go from there. To be a Christian is really just intended to mean that you follow the Messiah. By calling ourselves Torah-observant Christians, we hope that instead of burning bridges and disconnecting from others, we're not only highlighting how we agree on most things, but how we also differ. This offers a foundation and platform to entertain serious discussion and perhaps help brothers and sisters in the Messiah understand that we should observe the whole Word of God as Yeshua intended. That's all the questions we have for this part in this series. If this series and presentation format interested you, there are many more questions we'll be covering in subsequent parts of this teaching series. As always, if you have questions for 119 Ministries, please use the Contact Us page offered on our website. And if you do contact us, thank you for your patience as our team works to respond. We pray that you've been blessed by this teaching, and remember, continue to test everything. Shalom.
It is because of you, our generous supporters, who make it possible to offer these high-quality teachings completely free of charge. If you feel led to support 119 Ministries so that we can continue this effort, please visit testeverything.net and click on the Support 119 tab. Learn how you can partner with us to take the whole Word of God to the nations.